that one for next Sunday night, but I do want you to take your Bible with me, turn to Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1, I'm just going to give you some thoughts, because my text for next Sunday night's sermon is going to be in Philippians chapter 2, but I want to take you through some thoughts. This will be a good little introduction, and it will help you. Oftentimes, people refer to the book of Philippians as the book of joy, and the word joy is mentioned over and over again in that book, and that's very accurate. It's a very positive thing. If an individual wants to learn to have joy, a good place to begin is in the book of Philippians. However, there is another theme in the book of Philippians that joins directly with the concept of joy. Okay, joy is an emotion that I feel, but there's a way that that emotion is produced. Now, real pause here for just a moment. Let me give you a little bit of medical science. I'm not going to give you medical advice from the pulpit this evening, but a little bit of medical science is this, that all of your emotions are produced by chemicals in your brain. Oh, no, Pastor Monty, it's my heart. My heart fell in love. My heart is broken. Actually, really, your heart pumps blood. That's just euphemistic. It's a picture. We use that as a picture. Really, God designed us so that the chemicals in our brain help to produce our emotions. This is an absolute scientific fact. So if a person's chemicals in their brain, their serotonin levels or dopamine levels, for example, if those things are low, then a person can go into depression. By the way, depression is a real thing. As a Christian, don't ever say that that's not. Don't ever say to someone, oh, well, if you're depressed, you're not spiritual enough. No, there's a real thing. It's a physical thing. That means this, by the way, every one of the emotions that you feel is real. They're all real because they're produced by a chemical in your brain. Now pause. They are not all rational. They do not all have a reasonable reason, but they are real because they're produced by chemicals in the brain. You say, Pastor Monty, why is that important? Well, the word joy found throughout the book of Philippians, that word joy specifically talks about an emotion. Well, how do we get that emotion of joy? Well, the book of Philippians describes that, but I think there's a key to this that sometimes we don't pay attention to. In addition to the word joy, the book of Philippians is a book that talks about our thinking. There is a direct connection to my thinking and what I ruminate on and the joy that is in my heart. There's a direct connection. You say, why? Because it is the pattern of rational thought that can produce the chemicals that are in the brain that make emotions. So, for example, I'll prove this to you in a moment because some of you are looking at me like a bullfrog in a hailstorm. But, for example, so if I think about something sad, I become sad. You say, how can you prove that? Well, think about TV or the movies. You watch that old movie Where the Red Fern Grows. How many remember that? That sad movie about dogs. Any time a dog dies, I get broken up. Not so much people, just joking. But any time a dog dies, I on a show. Or how many remember Old Yeller? Do you remember Old Yeller? Yeah. How many remember Lassie? Okay, these are some tear jerkers. It's funny that nobody ever cries at cat movies. But anyway, these are... I say that in jest, because I know that there are cat lovers out there, and we'll just pray for you. But the very fact that through our eye gate, our ear gate, through the manipulation of our mind, and by the way, all entertainment is manipulation of your mind. It all is. That's why you find it entertaining. Through the eye gate and the ear gate, the manipulation of the mind, they produce an emotion. Because something that you see, something that you hear, it triggers that in the brain. If you ever watched a scary movie, I love a scary movie. I don't really care for them. It gives me anxiety. You know, you worry about it, then you hear sounds in the middle of the night. How many have ever done that? You know, and you just know that the Mothman is knocking at your door. You're absolutely certain of that, okay? What does that scary movie do? It produces the fight or flight response. It is a manipulation, and people enjoy, frankly, we enjoy being manipulated. What is it doing? All of these things, listen carefully, are playing on our mind. Now, having demonstrated that for you for just a moment, the book of Philippians chapter 1, how can I know joy in my life? Joy in my life can largely be produced by what I think about. Look at Philippians chapter 1. I want to point out, just real quickly, and then get to a couple of verses, I'll be done tonight. I want to point out, chapter 1, verse number 3, is where really he begins talking about things having to do with the mind. He says this, I thank my God, to the Philippian church, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Memory is a function of the mind. So Paul said, when I think about you, I thank God. In other words, a feeling of gratitude is produced when I think about you. By the way, that's always a good thing. We don't think enough about the things for which we should be thankful. That, of course, could be multiple sermons I could preach on that, but notice the word remembrance. Now look at verse number 12. He says this, back up to verse number 9. He says, this I pray, speaking to the Philippian church, he says, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is a function of the mind, the ability to recall facts, memory, and then having your brain filled with facts. That's something that has to do with thinking. What I'm demonstrating to you is how focused the book of Philippians, which is the book of joy, is pinpoint focused on how we think. Drop down to verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren. What is understanding? Understanding is the logical comprehension of the mind. Now, are you seeing this? Over and over again, in the first chapter of the book, Paul is bringing up words that have to do with our thought pattern and our thinking. The theme of Philippians largely could be said to be joy, but our joy hinges upon how we think. Look over, if you will, toward the end of chapter 1. He says this at verse number 27. He says this, only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, talking to the church now, I might hear what you're doing, that ye stand fast in one spirit, now notice this, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What is that? That is a direct reference to the mind and to the thinking, and it relates to unity. Drop down to verse number 2 of chapter 2. Paul says this, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love. Now notice that. The love, that's an emotion, comes from a like-mindedness that you're thinking similarly. You're not thinking in a diverse way or an adversarial way toward one another. So he says like-minded. Being of one accord, verse number 2, chapter 2, of one mind. What is that? Unified thinking. What does unified thinking produce? It produces love. Verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but notice the next words. In lowliness of mind. That is mental humility. Mental humility. Now, back up with me in your thinking for a moment. All the verses I'm pointing out have to do with one's thought life. The theme of the book of Philippians is joy, and all of the things that connect to my thought life can affect whether I am joyful or not. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that's humility of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. What in the world does that mean? When you're tempted to have a disagreement with somebody, think first, could I be agreeable? Could I esteem that person's opinion as valuable? Could I even have the lowliness of mind to think that that person's opinion may be better than my own? Pastor Monty, what does that have to do with joy? When strife ceases in your life, it opens the door for joy. You cannot have strife, disagreement, division, anger, and angst with people and still experience joy. Drop down to verse number 5, because here is the key. And I'll not be long tonight, but here's the key. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you not want to know what the secret of joy is? The secret of joy is adopting the mind of Christ. And Paul said that that is possible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was the mind of Christ? Speaking of Jesus in verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ in the form of God, it wasn't something that he had to grasp at because he was God. He was God come in the flesh. It's not robbery. When he declared to be the great I am, he was not usurping the authority of God. He is the great I am. When over and over again in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am, I am, I am. He was claiming Exodus chapter 3 where the Lord God told Moses, my name is I Am, the sacred tetragrammaton of the Old Testament. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, speaking of Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but, and here is that lowliness of mind, but made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't try to be the big shot. Early on in his ministry, you'll recall in the Gospels, when someone, it dawned on them that this is the Messiah, Jesus would say, now don't tell anyone about that. He wasn't trying to get the limelight or the spotlight. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Then what did he do? He took upon him the form of a servant, not a master, not a boss, not a celebrity, but the form of a servant. Now remember something. Let this mind be in you. Made of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That is an astounding statement. How was he made in the likeness of men? The virgin birth, the incarnation, his presence on this earth, the likeness of men. The transcendent God, the invisible God, took upon him the likeness of men. God, who seemed so distant because of his transcendence from his creation, took upon him the likeness of man so that he could relate to us. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsty. And yes, by the way, he knew what it was to be tempted. All of the pressures upon our lives are something that Christ himself faced. You say, what about physical infirmity? On the cross, Jesus faced all of the physical infirmity that any man could ever face in the beatings and the crucifixion. And in addition to that, having the sins of the whole world laid upon him. He made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. The God of all the universe humbled himself. By the way, humility is a really important characteristic. Well, Pastor Monty, you know, if you're gonna lead, you gotta be tough, you gotta be strong, and you gotta let never anyone see your weakness. I don't believe in that at all. See, Jesus, who is the transcendent God, Jesus, God in the flesh, humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient? He is God. If you're God, who is there to obey? God the Father sent God the Son to be the propitiation for our sins when he died on Calvary's cross. Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now I want you to pause for a moment. Let this mind be in you. The death of the cross, let that mind be in you. Jesus said, if you're going to be his disciple, you must take up your cross daily and follow him. Let the take up your cross mentality be what you adopt. That mind. The mind of taking up the cross. The mind of willingness to serve. The mind of willingness to suffer. The mind of willingness to take second place or back seat. The mind that says, I don't have to be the head of everything. I don't have to be in charge of everything. I don't have to be the one in the spotlight. I can take the back seat. The one that says, my idea doesn't have to be the prevailing idea. That's the mind of Christ. Christ took it to the very death of the cross. You say, Pastor Monty, what happened after that? Look at verse number 9. Wherefore? Wherefore? Wherefore, because of the cross, God also hath highly exalted him. You see, the way up is always down. The one that would be greatest is to be servant of all. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus in the first century became a mocking and a derision and ultimately a curse. For some people, the name of Jesus is nothing more than a curse word. In our present society, the name of Jesus is something that is shunned now. And somehow, if you hold to the name of Jesus, you're bad because you're not politically correct. You're not walking in lockstep with the woke morons of the day. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. The mockers can mock, the blasphemers can blaspheme, but there is a name given above every name. That name is Jesus Christ, and verse number 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And ladies and gentlemen, that day will come. That day will come. Whether willing or unwilling, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But he said, let this mind be in you. Humility. Like-mindedness. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why is that important? Because the book of Philippians tells us how to have joy. And the first step to joy is how I think. And a lot of that has to do with my willingness to humble myself, to simply love people, to put myself on the back burner sometimes. You're never going to have joy if you're always on the front burner. Look at me, look at me. I need attention. Pay attention to blah, 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 blah. You're never going to have joy if you're that. But if you find joy in loving someone else, in humility of mind and service, if you find joy by adopting the mindset of Jesus, that joy will be real. And it all starts up here. So what are you saying, Pastor Monty? I want to have joy. How do I have joy? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for a moment in your word tonight. Thank you that the way we think impacts the things that we feel. You designed us that way. And then you gave us a specific instruction about how to think. Let this mind be in you. God, as we leave this place tonight, there'll be challenges in the days and ahead and this week. Father, help us to seek the mind of Christ, humility of mind. He that took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and gave his life on Calvary's cross for our sin. Help us, Lord, to be lights that shine his light, his life through us. Bless this thought, we pray in Jesus' name. Stand with me, please, everyone standing together.